It's Mojo, the Mo and Joe Show, episode number one, Mojo Rising. I am the Crown Prince of Charisma, Mo. I'm joined by the King of the Con, Joe Mulvey. Joe, how are you doing?
I am fantastic. In a long way, America and Canada.
And of course, we also have the Queen of the Broken Hearts here, Keith.
How you doing, guys?
I'm excellent. We're going to talk to Joe. Where the hell did he go? Did we lose him?
I'm here.
All right.
No, I'm here.
All right. I don't know. You weren't signaling to me saying I'm here all the time. Like you need. Like there was a little bit of silence from Joe Mulvey. It caught me off guard.
I know. It's not normal. It's just I didn't really like the way Keith chimed in there. Like, hey, I'm here. How are you? Hi, guys. Like, what's that supposed to mean? I don't need – if we're supposed to be calm with each other as American Canadians, let's not start off on a bad foot. With your politeness, okay? Your politeness is what's causing the problem.
Look, the politeness plays in most of the rest of the country. You happen to be in New York. There, it just doesn't work.
People stab each other as Christmas gifts. Yes, that's a fact. That's what happens. But move on.
But do they wrap
guys,
it first?
What are you, pet a moose and you cut some cheese? Jesus Christ, people.
I do have a moose. Yeah, I. You know what the problem is when you put the moose on the leash and try and take it around the block? That's a pain in the ass.
Now, who's starting to bring up mother jokes early? I believe you are. I believe you are.
We will be getting there. But meanwhile, all right. So Tribe. Comics Tribe. Not Tribe. Comics
yeah,
Tribe.
Man,
Scam. We talked to you in January, and Scam had just come out, and we were waiting. I'm on Team Pint, waiting for Scam number two. And there's reasons why it hasn't shipped, but good reasons. So why don't you explain to everybody kind of what's up with Scam and Comics Tribe?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, because of the very gracious and kind reception that people gave to it, we sold out our original print run. Then we sold out on a second print. And then after that, we were contacted by Diamond to bring Scam and Comics Tribe to Diamond. So we made our package, pitched it to Diamond, and then they accepted our books. So now instead of the micro distribution, which we had done successfully, now we're going to worldwide distribution. So part of the deal was we had to hold off on soliciting any more issues of any of our books, and we have to wait to go into – We finalized it to be in this month, June's previews, on page 275, and we are offering up Scam as the first book. Scam will be re-released through Diamond, and after that we're going to have the Red 10 coming out again. I don't want to say the exact date because I might be wrong, but I think the Red 10 comes out in September. But it's going to be it's been an exciting time, and it's been thanks to We Talks comic podcast, guys like yourself helping us promote, and just people giving it a chance.
You know what? Are you pretty excited? That must be a boost to your ego that you're the guy they chose to launch it with. Your book, Scam. I mean, Red 10's an excellent book, and you got a bunch of actually good books there. But you know, I mean, that must have been quite a stroke in the ego. I mean, compared to the other thing you usually stroke.
Well, that is true, but sometimes I do the both at the same time, so I kind of inflate my ego and then bring it way, way down. But
your ego gets inflated for up to 30 seconds at a time. Yeah, and then two hours later, you're ready to inflate it again.
Listen to me. This is not – I'm not talking to my wife, all right? I'm talking to you guys. This is supposed to be escapism. But – no, it's really cool. It's very fun, and you just from talking to other people, you have a lot of people that aren't willing to beat their chest and beat the drum and talk about their book. And trust me, I know Scam's not Watchmen, but it's a fun book that people can get behind and enjoy. And in the five issues of this series, there's going to be plenty of twists and turns and things you've never seen in comics. And it is great because I can't think of a better guy than Tyler James, who is the owner of Comics Tribe, to do this with, because the guy is literally a genius in the business of comics. And it's, you know, something that I could say now, and people might be like, oh, you know, exactly who's Tyler James? But trust me, you will know Tyler James, you will know Comics Tribe, and hopefully you will know Scam. And then at the end of everything, if you know Joe Mulvey, that's okay. And it's all going to happen in August with the release of Scam number one.
So what's going to happen when the scam number one comes out? You guys going to what are you going to do to get the word out there besides doing this podcast?
Well, and let's be honest, this podcast is what you need. You know, once Oprah and this podcast gets behind you, it's pretty much sky's the limit. But we're kind of keeping it close to the chest right now because we want it to have impact when it happens. But our advertising scheme or idea for the launch of Scam is something I've never seen done with comics before, something I'm excited about. We know is a gamble, but again, in keeping with Scam, which for the people who don't know, Scam is a story about superpowered con artists on a heist in Vegas. And in keeping with the whole motif, we're putting our money where our mouth is. We really believe in comics as an underutilized medium, and that's across the board from Comics Tribe. And we all love comics, obviously enough to try to make it a living more than just a passion. And we are rolling the dice, betting our money and betting our name almost that this is an idea to get people into the shops. So we're hoping that when this thing hits that I keep teasing and won't say it just yet, all I can say is this: August 1st.
All right. Well, I'm going to ask you this then: August 1st, this groundbreaking idea that you're talking about here, your idea, Tyler James's idea, you know, you guys come up with it together. Is it the who came up with this idea?
I will say this: it was my idea, and it was not. I was not talked out of it, which was a nice thing because when you first hear it, you go, "That's the dumbest fucking thing," or "That's just insane," you know, "That's nuts." And then you're like, "What do you? Let's try it." And I hope it definitely makes the impact and does what we hope it'll do.
Now, this idea, the fact that you came up with this idea, do you think that's why Tyler decided, you know what, let's launch with Scam instead of Red 10? That's because we have this idea for it. Do you think that might have been the reason why?
No, only because of the fact that the idea came after we had that decision. Okay. So once we had known that everything was happening with Diamond, and they were like, okay, we're going to launch with Scam first. Because Scam had gotten a little bit of, a little bit of a buzz in the comic industry. iFanboy was nice enough to put it up there, and IGN gave it a pick of the week, which was unbelievable. And a lot of websites, Newsarama gave it like 9 out of 10. And it was just really, really something we weren't expecting. We were expecting people to hopefully give it a chance, but we didn't think all these major comic sites and podcasters would like it and would want to check it out, you know. And making that little bit of a wave we did, we kind of built that wave into hopefully a tidal wave that is going to soak the comic world in August.
Oh, again, I could make a mom joke there, but I won't. Too classy? Too classy on this end?
Always.
Keith, you still there?
I am here. So, Joe, page 275 of previews.
Yes, sir.
You open this up. It says, Scam Number One by Joe freaking Mulvey. How's that feel?
It feels pretty crazy because, that's, the book. Previews is, to people who don't know, hopefully you do, it's the book that pretty much runs down everything that's coming out 2 months ahead of time. So, when you get to pick it up in June and look at it, you get to see everything that's coming out in August. And just to be able to see that is insane. But I don't think anything has ever beat the feeling of holding the book in my hands that first time. Even during the micro distribution, I just want to make comics. I just love comics, love talking comics, I genuinely am in love with the idea of what people don't appreciate about comics is, I think, Mo, you said this in our last interview, it's untapped. It's an untapped entertainment source. And it's still relatively young, even though for us as fans, we're like, oh, when is it going to become bigger? When is it going to become bigger? And, you could see where comics could go. And just being a part of that and holding my book and looking at it and knowing that I'm in the comics industry, even though, to an infinitesimal portion, it was unbelievably exciting. And still, I still have a framed copy of it on my wall, and I still get excited that if I get hit by a bus tomorrow, and many fucking bus drivers try, I will definitely put that up there as an achievement for me for just getting it done.
Hey, New York, right? It's New York. So
they're all drunk. Yeah. Let's just say it.
Yeah, there you go.
I know that feeling, man. I dug out a small press that some friends of mine and I put out many, many years ago. And yeah, I keep a copy around because, you know, I never had the chops to make it, but I got that one thing. Like we had like 600 or 700 copies or whatever, and it's there. It exists. Like if, yep. I won't write another one on ever probably, but it exists.
Well, you don't know that. You know, don't say never. You know, you might have this great idea one day that all of a sudden, you know, invigorates you and you want to do it.
I'm an old, old man now.
Yeah, and not to mention, it's not like you had a great idea the first time you did it, though, Keith. So just go for it. That's the way I see it.
And wasn't that idea about what was the exact idea? Because I know Mo talked about a book you were writing about a man with a magical dong that chokes whales across the country.
Well, yeah, Canada's a big country, too.
Whale fucker, yeah, of course.
Whale fucker.
Diamond would carry it, though. They're like
they're prudes. They don't respect Canadian art.
Whale fucker. It does sound like something coming out of Japan, not Canada. But anyways, what are we gonna?
That'd be a great manga to take the kids to.
Yeah, no kidding. Eh?
I want the new whale fucker.
I think it's redubbed for Cartoon Network.
Whale fucker, the coral queef.
So how far into, I think when we talked to you there, like I say, number one had just shipped, literally like just shipped, and we had just gotten our hands on it that same day at our comic book store that we went to, Alpha Comics, who's awesome, and Chris had put that in there, and we got it, and I think at the time you said you were about halfway through number two, something like that.
Two's thankfully done. Three is almost finished with the pencils, and then the colorist is just starting up that. We have Chris Sotomayor, who's a big Marvel colorist. He's doing all the covers. So number one is the cover's been retouched up by him. Number two, all the issues of the miniseries, he's going to be doing the covers too. And as of the second issue of the series, we actually have Felix Serrano, who's the colorist on Robert Kirkman's Thief of Thieves, coming on board as the colorist.
That's cool.
So, yeah. I mean, it's a 5-issue miniseries. And by the time the first one hits in August, we'll probably be about, you know, the next two in the can. So it'll be bi-monthly. So that way we have enough time to really, like, promote, hype, all that stuff, and get the word out constantly. Because even though I've written it that every single book and issue is one that you could jump on and not need to have read the previous ones, when you do read all of them, there are a lot, and I mean a lot of Easter eggs in the book to certain things. Like, there might even be – and I'm just going to say this – there might even be a Mo and Keith – citing somewhere in the book. That just might be something you have to look for.
Oh, well, now it'll sell. Now.
Now Canada buys 1 billion books.
exactly. Really, that's cool. I appreciate that, Joe. That's really awesome. Keith, what do you think of that?
Well, he didn't say it is going to be there. He said it may.
Oh, yeah, okay.
He could be scamming us right now.
I was going to say, it is a book written on, you know, about Con Man, for God's sakes. You really bit that one a little too easy. But you just keep buying it all the way by the fifth one. You're like, oh, I didn't see it there. And I'll be like, you're a shocker.
Well, I just, you know what, tell you the truth, more than seeing me, I want to see because like I said, I'm a Pint fan, and I know you got 4 issues of this, but is he going to get a one-shot in the future? Is he going to get his own miniseries? Come on, give it to me.
Pint, I think Pint's going to be a pretty big star coming out of the book. And issue 2 is his coming out party in a big, big way. Like, if you didn't, I don't want to ruin it for people who haven't read it at all, but if you didn't get a little hint of what his ability is in the first book, you will see it full force in the second. And, it's a power I've always wanted to have. I will say that.
So now, you got, you say you're at number 3, the pencils are finished, right? And you're working on that. The pencils, inks as well?
I'm doing digital inks. So that's pretty much something. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. So now, how much of your time are you spending working on the actual book? And how much time are you spending working with Comics Tribe to promote and to grow the company and that type of thing? What's the balance like?
I say 29 hours a day because it feels like there's more than 24. But it's pretty much a constant thing. Like, we're constantly emailing, texting, tweeting, everything. Like, idea. Let's try this. Let's try that. Do this. Don't do that. And, you know, Tyler and I, when we get together, talk about, you know, plans for after the first Scam miniseries. And also, we're Comics Tribe right now is working on it's not a secret. The Oxymoron, who's a popular character from the Red 10 series, will be getting a anthology book in late 2012 with a lot of top talent on it, like a lot of top guys.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I've seen the solicitations, early solicitations for that, and I was excited too because I mean, the Red 10, now we got the first two issues of that that have shipped, and you know, I'm just, again, it's a really, really strong book. So.
Yeah, it's. I mean, honestly, I'm not just saying this because, I mean, obviously, I'm a fan of Comics Tribe and I work for them and all that stuff. But I mean, that book is phenomenal. It really is phenomenal. As I've seen more issues than have been out, and also, you know, now with Diamond Distribution, that's going to get reset again too. So we're going to be, you know, resoliciting issues 1 and 2, and I mean, by the time 1 hits, I think 5 or 6 will be in the can. So it's. You know, it's a nice way with this Diamond push to let us really stockpile a lot and then be able to promote on a constant schedule. And the Red 10 thing is just going to be, I think, huge.
So now you're what else is going on there with Comics Tribe then, with some of the other creators or anybody else coming on board? Anything else happening there?
You know, right now it's pretty much the line we've had, a few dealings going on behind the scenes that I don't want to say names of. I'll leave that up to Tyler James, the owner. But it's pretty much just making everything we have a tighter package, putting it through Diamond, getting it seen to as many people as we can, and then hopefully, you know, slowly taking over the world from there. I mean, I don't think there's a better time for independent comics and creator-owned comics than there are right now, because even you see it with DC and with Marvel, they're kind of leaning towards their continuity, you know, drags them down in the current age. And I know there's people who are out there that are, you know, fanatics, but the success of the New 52 has to show you that people want a jumping on point. And with good indie books, you have that.
Now, I just want to mention for everybody, I'm hoping this podcast is flowing well, because when we're doing We Talk Comics or most of our other podcasts, we're on camera with each other and then we're in different locations so we can see each other. On this one, we're not on camera. The advantage of that, though, is that while Joe was talking, I could scratch my balls. And, of course, I did. Now, not that I don't when We Talk Comics is on, too. I do, constantly. But I try and hide it from them. Don't need to bother.
Nice. Well, let me just tell you something right now, even though I did verp at the idea of that. You do know that we can tell, because you always let out a bellow.
Ugh.
Like, you know, like a manatee being scrubbed. Like, you let out a bellow. So we know when they're getting scratched.
Oh, there you go. There you go. So you know they're being scratched the whole show.
You're tweeting it. And then you tweet it every time, too.
Yeah. Well, there is. Well, look, it is. You talk.
I heard that's the reason for crop circles. Is this true?
You tweet about what you're doing, and that's generally what I'm doing. Yeah. So anyways, Comic Stride, now you guys got an interesting thing you could do, though. So I'm kind of wondering about this. Because you guys have shipped a couple books, and your first issue of Scam has shipped, and now you're waiting, you're redistributing it. One of the things I want to know about quickly here is actually not as quickly as anything from Mulvey is going to be, is what is the printing on this book officially then from Diamond? Will this be considered the third printing?
This will be the first Diamond printing.
First Diamond printing. So yeah, how does that make my book? Am I going to get rich? How valuable is Scam number one, my issue sitting there going to be now?
No, I understand that. And I believe that too. That's like a, you know, super secret ultra first edition. So yeah, that's going to be that was the first time it was out there. So whereas with Diamond, it gets noted as the first Diamond distributed selling of the book. So yours should be, you know, I would do some sort of Han Solo type thing, like try to put it together in some carbonite and just, you know, leave it there for a little while. So hopefully we could build enough fever behind Scam to make it nice and valuable so you can send some kids to college.
All right, excellent. I won't send kids to college. No, just buy a better home entertainment system.
Look, sometimes you've got to let those kids out of your basement, and they've got to get educated.
They make 80-inch TVs now. That's what I need to upgrade.
Exactly, exactly.
I'm just too afraid to watch porn on those. It's too daunting.
It is a scary freaking thing. Some things are meant to be low res.
Yes, it is a scary. Well, that latest Avengers XXX was meant to be low res because it had China, and you don't want to see.
Oh my god.
Yeah, you don't want to see him naked.
No, you don't.
No, that's. But you did mention George Lucas, so you have another chance to do something else here, a George Lucas move, because you're redistributing this through Diamond. Did you go in and make the special effects more modern? Did you make any changes upon this printing, is basically what I'm saying. Did you add
the cover. The cover was changed. Chris Sotomayor colored it. And beyond that, it's pretty much there's a few tweaks here and there of, like, I think dialogue and some other lettering things. But beyond that, it's pretty much, it's par the course. I don't think you'd really, unless you really looked at it with a discerning eye, you'd be able to tell the difference.
Okay.
Except for my full nude at the end, of course.
I think you want to reword that there's a new page and everyone needs to buy it a second time, right?
Well, what I did is I went the Willy Wonka route and I put the golden ticket in one of the issues. So there are 11 lucky people who could win, and if you win, you get to come to the Mulvey House at Mulvey Gardens in Mulvey Estate, and you get to come here and see the factory.
Nice, nice. Excellent. Ship me one of those.
And by the factory, I mean the basement where I drink beer and think up stupid ideas to draw.
Ah. That's where I am now, too.
Nice.
Just like Willy Wonka, you invite kids into the to the basement. Yeah, feed them full of candy.
With blow pops and smelling salts, and just wait for all the bad things to happen.
So what other adventures have you had here? Kind of, you've been to some conventions and some other things to get the word out and scam. You've talked to some other podcasts. You cheat. And what else has been going on?
It's been fun. We've been going around Comics Tribe promoting the show, promoting the books it shows. And unfortunately, because of the delay with the Diamond distribution deal, it was pretty much a 5-month delay, and a lot of people I found, and I shouldn't say a lot, most people are pretty kind, and they think that because it's independent comic, creator-owned comic, that there's supposed to be a delay, and, you know, but the truth is, we're like, no, like, I've been showing people who are like, oh, no, I'm sure that it's not on your end. And I'm like, look, I have all the PDFs. Do you want to look at the second issue? Like, I could show it to you on my phone. And but the best experience I've had is a guy at Boston Comic Con was I was standing out in front of the Comics Tribe table, and I was trying to get people to come in. And I'm like, hey, have you checked out Comics Tribe? And I try to show them my books and make some sales. And the guy saw a scam, and he goes, oh, yeah. He goes, I bought that when it first came out. I said, oh, thanks a lot. We appreciate that. And he goes, yeah. He goes, that's a film pitch. And I said, what? He goes, yeah, that's a film pitch. I know that the Mulvey guy, he's in this to make one issue and, you know, sell his screenplay, and then he's done. I said, no, I know the guy pretty well. I think that he's legit with what he's doing. Like, he seems a pretty good guy. And the guy goes, look, I understand you work for the company. No offense. You got to say this kind of shit. But trust me, I know guys like him before. He's in comics to make a quick buck, and he's gone. And I'm like, well, you know what you know. I don't want to tell you anything. And then he starts looking at the Red 10. And then he goes, Tyler goes, have you checked out the scam by Joe Mulvey? And the guy looks at me and he goes, so you're Joe Mulvey? I go, yeah. Yeah, these are one of those moments in life. And he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm like, no, you don't got to be sorry. Trust me, I wish someone wanted to buy it as a film. Go ahead.
That is awesome. That is awesome. How red-faced did you get?
That is way more planning than anyone who knows Mulvey would attribute.
Yeah, no. I said that. I'm like, what? No, I just fucking throw shit out there. If it sticks, it's awesome. If it's not, I just assume it.
I mean, it's not that you don't love movies, but, I mean, comics, that's your love. And that's the thing. I mean, that's unfortunately what he doesn't understand about you.
Yeah, well, you know what? And this is just all people. I understand that, you know, you'll see a lot of guys come into comics that try to do that. Where they're like, you know, they might be like, you know, and we all know the celebrities that have tried to do it. They come out, no, I've always read comics, and, you know, I like Wolverine in his yellow more than his brown. It was someone told him to, you know, say in an interview. But, like, you can do that. You can go out there, because you're pretty much making a storyboarded screenplay in a comic, if that's the way you want it. But when you do it like that, readers know, and it's just not a fucking comic. You know, there's things that comics do that are specific to the entertainment medium of comics that you can't do in movies or anything else. And that's what makes the medium of comics so good to the people who understand it. So, you know, don't get me wrong. I just saw Avengers like a week ago. I know I'm behind the train on that, but
most still hasn't seen it.
I don't watch movies.
And it's been killing us that we can't tell him what the freaking ending is.
I know.
There's no way he doesn't know. I knew like a week after.
Actually, I knew. I found out from Longbox Graveyard's reading his blog.
Oh, so. That's right. He blogged about it.
Yeah,
that's right.
So
it's
a good movie. But I mean, I'm just saying, what's in the movie? You know, if you pick up a really good comic, the comic does something that the movie can't, and vice versa.
That's true. That's
absolutely
true.
And it's you kind of bugs me when people go get upset that something's been slightly changed for the film but it needs to be like. You can't do 100% translation of a comic book into a film. It just doesn't work. You've got to drop stuff. You've got 40 years of Avengers stories. Yes, things have to be cut. You have to Hawkeye has to be in S.H.I.E.L.D. That's the simpler way to do it.
Yeah, and also the thing that drove me nuts, even watching it, I mean, I had seen all the stills, the shots in Entertainment Weekly and online. I don't think that Captain America's uniform translates. I think it's the only really hokey thing in even the Captain America movie, which I liked up until he put on the costume modern day. Like, I'd rather that re-envisioned thing where he was an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. a little while ago, where he's all, like, you know, armored up. I mean, because I don't know. It just it irks me because it almost looks as bad as that old, like, 80s Captain America movie where he's riding a bike and Steve Winwood or whoever the hell is singing a song in the background. Like, it just looks bad. I don't know. I might be in the minority here. Thinks that, but
oh, hold on. Oh, that's the spot. That feels good. Anyways, you know what?
Most so brought in help. He made some calls. And, he's writing this stuff off though because he does it while we're recording. So he calls it a business expense.
That's right.
Does he?
He just the receipting though. I mean, asking for a receipt is so awkward.
Well, let me ask you a question. Is it that you're scratching it and relieving the fluid from the blisters, or what is it exactly that's giving you such a relief? Because I scratch and I move on, and I really don't even notice how many times I do it. But you literally sound like you're really going down there and giving it a good exfoliation or something.
Well, it itches. I blame Keith's mom. But, yeah, you know. Anyways, what were we talking about? Oh, yeah, costumes. You know, there's a reason why Bryan Singer on the X-Men movies decided to go with the black leather costumes instead of giving them the costumes that they're using in the comic books. I mean, they basically tried it out at a screen test and said, that looks retarded. We're going to go with something that people would look like they would actually wear, you know?
Yeah. And that makes sense to me. Like, I mean, you know, the Hulk, it's always going to be purple pants, which is weird for some reason that a grown man would, you know, wear purple pants outside of a gay parade, but,
and yet his nickname is Green Jeans, which I never really got. One of them.
Yeah. Well, he was green and in jeans. Yeah, I don't know. I don't get that either. Iron Man works because he's a guy who's a billionaire who can do anything he wants. Thor is from a whole nother planet and realm, so you can kind of write him off at that. But I just feel like Captain America, like, the suit didn't fit back in the 40s. So what is it making him think that it fits now? I don't know. And again, you know what? I'm not a huge, Captain America fan, so I don't, you know. I don't dislike him, but I'm not like a diehard fan. But even like I would say Batman's probably my most favorite character, obviously outside of the guys from Scam. And all the different changes they've done with him over the years in film and animation, you just kind of roll with it.
Well, obviously the look on, you know, the movies, the modern day movies is a lot better aesthetically to look at than the you know 60s TV show. I mean, but you know what? I thought Christopher Reeve as Superman, I thought that would look stupid, and yet I look at it and it seems natural. I don't give it a second thought. So I mean, I mean, if you're gonna make changes to Captain America, the fan base is gonna freak out. I mean, you have to pick your spots, I suppose.
Yeah, but how many of those people do you think that went to see the movie were, you know, fans? Like, do you think it would have been any less successful if he would have had a more modern outfit? As long as the characterization is there, and I think what made the movie so successful was the interaction, you know. And I don't know, I mean, but it's, you know, we can agree to disagree, or you could just go fuck yourself. I don't want to be rude about it.
I mean, to me, I think if you have
win
the big round shield,
thing, just go fuck yourself, don't you? That trumps everything.
I just have a button that hits. I just hit it on repeat.
I think if you've got the shield, and it's indestructible, that's pretty much all I need. I don't need him to wear the mask through the whole thing. I kind of like the look, like the more Ultimate Universe look that he had in the movie, in the Captain America movie with the helmet and stuff.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
I thought it was much more functional, and it doesn't make a whole lot of sense actually that they moved away from that because they wanted to look like he looked in the 40s. So why doesn't he still look like it? Like, why give him a spandex outfit to not look like he did in the 40s? He doesn't seem to have a secret identity anymore either. So you know, the mask is for the look; it's not for anything else.
Yeah, right. Because to him, by that time, all of his friends and family are dead. Or really, really old. So it's like, you know, it's not like a modern day hero who has to, you know, Bruce Wayne has to, you know, protect pretty much his butler. I don't know who else Bruce Wayne's trying to protect, and his stockholders. Who knows? But you know, hold on. We're getting in way too much into fashion here, and that's not the point of this podcast. So let's just steer it back onto less spandexy clothing and more of the comics. Now we're talking about Avengers. Got to talk about Avengers X-Men. Have you been reading?
I'm still reading.
Okay, Mo?
No, I'm not, I'm afraid.
Did you ever read? Did you start reading?
I read the Zero and the issue number one. It's not that I disliked it, actually. I'm not like I am where I am generally don't like DC's product as a publisher. I'm not into what they do. Over the last year, I've read 60 books from them, and I enjoyed 7 of them. So that's a really low percentage. I like majority of the books I read from Marvel or, you know, but it's very few that I'm going, I got to keep coming back to that. Cause we have to read so much for reviews already that we're trying to keep up with just for the show that when I'm reading for myself, I'm pretty damn picky, and AVX just didn't make the cut for me.
So you didn't even read that to review for the show?
We did. We read the Zero. We read the issue number one. That's why I tried it. And then,
okay.
Yeah, I think
the infinite, the infinite that came with number one. Yeah.
That was the digital one.
That's the digital one. Yeah.
Yeah. The Mark.
By the way, that digital is the wave of the future. The way that, I mean, like the way that digital comics should be done. That thing was amazing to me.
See, and you know what? I at the same time as we did that one, we did one for Buffy the Vampire Slayer for that I thought was actually better. I actually enjoyed more. So, but Keith enjoyed less. So. I mean, who knows? Who knows what's the
last? That's not the digital comic, though. That's the whatever the frick they call that motion comic.
Yeah, yeah,
garbage.
Yeah, I'm not a motion comic fan, but I haven't seen that one, so I can't say if I'd go thumbs up or thumbs down.
You'd still hate it, Joe.
I hate most things. I hate most things. I hate most people. So, Keith, are you enjoying it? Are you not? Are you?
I am, and it's it's certainly a little uneven because of the the team of 86 writers. The latest issue I really, really liked, and I especially like the Infinite issue story that came with number 6.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm a big Cyclops fan, and I've been on Team Cyclops the whole time. I came out of Schism and Regenesis on Cyclops' side, and blogged about how the Avengers suck and Cyclops rules.
It's true.
So the Infinite story that focused on Cyclops, I thought was really, really good, and I like the direction they're going. I think this turning point at number 6 is quite a cool idea.
Well, now, and this is not going to ruin any of the story for anyone who has or hasn't read it. Or Mo, who, let's be quite honest, we don't really know if you can read, but
I like
you do like
to look
pictures at
pretty pictures in your book, Joe.
Yes, you do. I know. If you want some pretty pictures, we can get to a mother joke in a little bit. But hold on one second, because I want to know if you guys think this is a tweak to a Marvel reboot.
I'm going to say no. I think there may be a reset point coming or a relaunch, but I don't think a reboot is really going to happen. It's kind of DC's thing. I mean, one, it would be a copy, and two, Marvel has never done a reboot, and I just don't think they have that kind of focus. I mean, DC's got a history of rebooting. Marvel doesn't. Marvel really still carries 50 years of continuity with it.
I think,
and celebrates that.
I think the way Marvel looks at doing things, constantly retconning things, things like this season ones that they've been doing lately, I don't think they feel a need from a publisher point of view to necessarily do a reboot. Now, should it be leading to a reboot? I think so. But then again, I wouldn't have minded the new 52 if the reboot had been done exceptionally well either. So, you know.
Now, Mo, you haven't been have you been reading any DC new DC titles regularly?
Or? No, because after 52, what happened, I'm going to pick up now the I'm not sure, has it shipped yet, the trade paperback for All-Star Western? That is the only book I have interest in. I want to read the trade paperback.
Not yet.
Yeah, I didn't think it was out yet. No. So that'll be the only book that I actually have any interest in, is All-Star Western. That's the one I'm going to read. Because, like I said, I tried – when you try 60 books, I think it's 60 books that have tried with the Wave 2 and
– 58, yeah.
Yeah, 58. Wave 2, but there was also the miniseries, the Ray miniseries. Sure. So 59, yeah. Seven that I've enjoyed. 52 that are average or I don't like, to me that's – I'm not going to be reading the publisher when I was a huge DC fan and I don't like what they did, and they had to blow me away with quality, and they failed to do that. And my favorite publisher – I mean, I don't mind what Marvel does, but my favorite publisher is easily Image. I'm reading a lot of books from Image. I'm really enjoying that feel. I said it before, I think it's the new Vertigo. There's a lot of small press stuff, good creators, and interesting concepts, but generally self-contained stories, right? Self-contained series, not a big universe. I'm certainly, when I look again, you come to AVX, I'm crossovered out by what Marvel and DC has done over the last decade with the major event crossovers too. I think that's another big deal for me.
Well, I mean, I think the best strength of Image is they are the publisher right now that can get new readers into books, because you can hand them so many of their books, like, and I'm just rattling off the top of my head, Thief of Thieves, Saga, Peter Panzerfaust, you can give the quick pitch for them and give that to someone who's never read comics before and interest them with the premise. Whereas when you do that with, you know, books like through Marvel and DC, even though DC does have a little bit of an advantage with the new relaunch, when you do it with the Marvel books, it's hard because you have so much continuity that has to go into each issue to a degree that it makes new readers jumping on difficult. But when you say, you know, hey, here's a book about a guy who's, a thief trying to retire, and he's pulled back into the life. Boom, here's Thief of Thieves. You could check it out. If you're a sci-fi fan, you know, here's a space opera, Romeo and Juliet, with, you know, guys with TV heads. Here's Saga. Like, they really hit a market where you can get a quick idea and sense of what the book is, give it to people, and new people would read those books. Whereas I think it's a little harder to sell people on, you know, well, this is Spider-Man, but it's not the Spider-Man. It's Avenging Spider-Man, and he teams up with this guy who you've never heard of and does this and that. Like, that's a hard sell. But Image really does hit – I think it can hit a whole different demographic of people.
You know, Marvel and DC, I think, are both really, really concerned with getting the current fan base to spend more of their money than they're willing to this month. They want them to spend more next month. But I don't think they're really willing to try and get new people. Now, that said, AVX, they did put commercials on the radio and some advertising and things like that out there. So, I mean, they did try and make a big deal out of it. So, did it work? Sales were good, right?
I kind of wonder, though. I mean, most people don't buy. Most buyers aren't buying more than 10% of a whole line. Like, 7 or 8 is all I'm getting of DC. So, for you to say that you liked 7 or 8, that seems like a fine number to me. Like, I don't know why you wouldn't just stick with the 7 or 8 you like that.
Because when I am disliking, see, you're reading that, but what were you reading before from DC?
Less.
Yeah, and I was reading much more, right? So all of a sudden, when I'm going from 20 books to 7 or 8, then I feel like I am losing something and I don't like the direction they've gone. And that's not seven or eight that I think were good enough to read. Because there's only one that I thought was good enough to read, and that's All-Star Western. That's seven or eight that I think are decent. And that's not a good enough percentage.
Didn't even jump on board with all the hoopla about Batman?
I came back and tried. When I say I've tried over 60, I came back. First issue of Night of Owls. Tried that. First, the Nightwing and stuff like that. And I did not enjoy that. And I was actually into that excited. I walked into that going, you know what? I really want to read this. I'm really hoping this works out. I've heard good things about this. I know you are really enjoying that book. And then, you know what? I read that first issue and I went, this isn't as good as the hype. And this isn't enough.
But you read the Nightwing, right? You read the Nightwing crossover, which isn't really enough. Like, I think you'd have to be reading the – and I understand if you want to read a Nightwing book, it should be a seamless fit in a crossover or a line-wide story.
Whatever it was that shipped that very first week, what was it, three issues or two issues of the first of Night of
Batman, Nightwing, and then it was a backup story in Batman that week. That was when they started the backup stories.
Okay, so yeah, so it was these three stories that I read. The onus isn't on me, though, to sit there and go, you know what, I didn't like that enough, but let me keep giving it a chance and see if it gets better. The onus is on the publisher to blow me away and make me want to come back.
Look, everyone wants to blow you away. Trust me, everyone wants to blow you away. But I think
– your mom did.
The Batman – listen to me. She was drunk, and she literally thought you were a walrus, and she thought you were choking. So I don't know if that's completely fair. But if you –
I'd like to point out that's not how you save a walrus from choking.
In case anybody accidentally – in case somebody's
make it easier on the walrus when he's going off to the next world, but that's not how you say it.
No, if somebody's walking down.
Can I tell you what my mother's mistake was? My mother shouldn't have asked the walrus how he would like to have been saved. That was the problem.
But yeah, we don't want somebody walking down the beach in Oregon and seeing a walrus that's choking and failed to save that life because of us.
You know what? I'd actually be quite happy with that. That's fine. But I'm just saying, and to finish my point, is I think getting a tie-in book like Nightwing, because maybe you liked Nightwing before, I think does a disservice to the story, because the bulk of that story is being handled in the Batman book itself by Capullo and Snyder. And I think that's the best book. And I know I'm not alone with this, but I think it's the best book coming out of the whole New 52. And I think there are a lot of good books still coming out. But, man, I don't ever remember myself saying, like, classic or, like, you know – a book that's going to be read, you know, for quite a while. But I definitely think this Snyder Capullo run is just amazing.
See, but again, it comes down to I don't like the publisher. I don't like the direction the publisher went. I don't like the way that they put the T ratings on the books and have to me completely tried to push out any younger fan base. I don't like the content of Nightwing. I was uncomfortable with seeing decapitations on a book rated T that somebody can't give their 10-year-old. There's a lot of little things about what DC has done that have pushed me away, besides just the quality of the writing and art, which I don't think has been good enough anyways. But there's a lot of little things that they've done, and the lack of continuity that they actually gave us, for instance, in the books, and the way they're trying to retcon it in and fit it all in now with these zero issues, and it's making me feel like they didn't have a plan. There's a lot of things that publisher did that pushed me away.
Yeah, and that's valid. I'm not trying to undercut your stupid yet well thought out ideas, but I just think that to me. Because I've been reading Nightwing as well, and the Nightwing story was really good, but then when you come to the Night of Owls thing and everyone has to fit in to the Night of Owls, you know, storyline, like I read Catwoman and I read the other tie-ins, they didn't really pull me in as much as I was interested in it with the Batman story. The other ones I felt was kind of like, you know, a forced hand to kind of sell books that maybe weren't doing as well as Batman by throwing the Night of Owls stamp on it, which is just what comics, you know, the companies, the bigger publishers do anyway. And that's a strength of the independent comics, or at least, you know, smaller publishers like, you know, Comics Tribe, or, you know, Image, where you buy these books and you can just enjoy the world that these books are building, the story within it, and not have to worry about, you know, if I don't read these other two books, am I not getting the full story? Which I think is, they always tell you that you don't have to read these other books to understand things, but in AVX they've shown that wasn't true. In Night of Owls, the spinoffs, not the spinoffs, the other books that interacted with that storyline, it to me it was forced. But you know, like when you go and read, again, I don't know what books you guys are reading from Image, but when you go and read a book like, you know, Hell Yeah, you're reading Hell Yeah and you know you go from issue 1 to 5 or 6, whatever it is, and that's it. You could look forward every month to getting that book and knowing you're going to be able to lose yourself in that world and not feel like you're not getting the full story.
You know what? I am crossovered out. I don't think that helps.
Certainly with AVX. I mean, at first I thought I was getting extra stuff from the crossovers, and I've stopped getting any of the crossover stories. I'm not getting Verses. I'm really enjoying the core book, but the rest of them feel like complete deja vu now. That every time I pick up one of the issues that's a tie-in, I'm like, well, it's just 20 pages of the fight that only took one page in AVX. And I was okay with it only taking one page. And just like every time seems to be fitting in the middle of an issue of AVX instead of before or after.
You know, comic books are supposed to be fun. I mean, I'm supposed to have fun reading them. And I want to have fun, and I want to read books for the show that I enjoy. And that's why I'm waiting for Scam number 2 so anxiously, because I enjoyed number 1. I can't wait to read number 2. It's like we were talking about how we could possibly review all the, what is it, 55 issues of Zero Issues or whatever it is that's coming out from DC here.
Right.
And we thought we found a way, and then I kind of sent a text the next day to the guy saying, I don't think I want to read them because I don't like the publisher and I don't think I'll have fun. If I read 11 books and I believe 2 or 3 I think will be good, to me, that's not a high enough percentage for me to want to read it. I mean, I was disappointed with this last week, and I think, you know, I mean, I saw somebody was tweeting Keith about, is there any comic book podcast out there where the guys talk about what books they like? And I was like, well, yes, we reviewed 5 books, and we didn't like any of them. But trust me, I wanted to like all 5. I always go in wanting to.
Well, I liked at least one of them.
Well, you did, yes. Yes, you did. You liked Comedian, but Brett and I didn't. You and Chris liked it, and all the rest of the books none of us liked. So I mean, that's really a disappointment. I don't know. Some weeks you win, some weeks you lose, right?
Well, beyond the professional, you know, while you're doing things for review, like, can you give me a rundown of some of the books that are like, you know, top of your list, like cannot wait, chomping at the bit to get. Besides Scan number 2, obviously.
Panzerfaust is number 1 for me.
And Panzerfaust is I've caught up to that too, and I think it's awesome. Yeah, Panzerfaust is awesome. And what's the name of it? Mind the Gap. Mind the Gap. I think that's also Image, isn't it? Mind the Gap.
Yes.
Yeah, it's the first. That's, I thought that was pretty damn great too. What else?
Hell yeah, I'm really liking. There's a lot of Image stuff that I'm really digging. Hell Yeah is great, and Creator Own Heroes was a terrific start.
Man, that was a really good book. Yeah, that was a really good book.
I know Mo didn't care for it, but I really – I like
– No, I didn't read Creator Own Heroes. I didn't.
Oh, did you miss that?
Yeah, I didn't read that one.
Yeah, I like the Paul Miatti story. I wasn't as much for the other one, but – Yeah, a lot of Image stuff. I mean, I've got much more mainstream stuff on my list. So, Mo, what's weekly, monthly reading for you?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. That's one of the reasons why I want to get us into reading trade paperbacks much more for the show, because reading weekly, monthly is becoming, outside of reviews with my schedule, becomes really difficult. And that said, I'm starting a new job at the beginning of July, and I'm hoping to be able to start getting back to reading some comic books much more regularly. But outside, that's one of the reasons why I want us to do trade paperbacks, is a way to catch up and read some of the great stories out there, because weekly, monthly. I mean, I try the ones and the ones we're going to review, and then I pick up three or four books. And Peter Panzerfaust, now Mind the Gap. That Rocketeer Avengers is another one that I've picked up every issue, volume two of that. And that's it. Those are the three that I've picked up here over the last 2 months regularly.
All right. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's. I think Image right now has the. I mean, obviously, I think AVX and Batman are like top sellers in shops, but I think Image has the new interest and the new ideas. And you know, sometimes it sucks that people kind of need things to be out for a few months or more, you know, so they can kind of understand something better. So they might not, you know, like I like Ed Brubaker's Fatale, and. You know, I think the art's on it is great. I think the story's great, and I'm reading it. And you know, I've heard a lot of people in the shops say, "Oh, they can kind of wait for a trade," or "Oh, you know, people can't really kind of explain to them what it's about." And you know, there's people like that that just don't want to pick up an issue and try it. They just want to, you know, kind of be told, like, you know, fans in shops want to be pitched just as much as anyone else. But I think Fatale is great. I don't know if you guys have checked out the Manhattan
Project. I read
the
first two issues of Fatale, and I thought it was great, and I wanted to read for a trade paperback.
Okay. Yeah, and
trades getting to be a rough gig for creator-owned, because it's like it was America's Got Powers, I think it was, that their numbers dropped in more than a half from issue one to two, and it's those people that try the first issue, I dig it, but you know there's going to be a trade. And with its Image, so it's going to be fairly soon. It's not like, you know, DC where it could be a year where you're waiting for the trade. It may be a 2 or 3 months after the thing wraps up. And yeah, you're not going to buy the rest. So, I mean, but there's no, then where's the money to pay for 2 through 6 that actually finish the trade?
Superbia is another one that I'm waiting for a trade. I want to read. I think that's Boom though, isn't it? Or Dynamite.
Boom.
Boom. Yeah.
Boom. Yeah. Well, I think – you know what it is? I think you have a big fall off from 1 to 2.
Hello?
Is he thinking or is he paused?
He is lost. Now, do we have to call him back in? Can he call in to us?
I'm still showing him on the call.
Comes after they've done.
Sorry, Joe, can you just start over from your last thought? We lost you there for a second.
Sure. My point was that I think the reason there's such a drop off from 1 to 2 with sales, it is an industry wide problem where the, you know, the number one, like you said, has that speculator interest that people want to check it out, and then they might not like the story, and that's fine, and they might not like the art, they might not like the book, they don't read number two. But I think a lot has to do with the push that a publisher and creator put behind that first one, and then after that it's just a mention, and there's nowhere near, you know, 50 to 25% of the push that they did on the first
one. They stop hustling.
Yeah, I think
there's something to that. I think you're definitely right. There's definitely something to that.
Because there's no longer there. You know, people feel like a safety in that first number. Like, you know, if Scam number one, when it comes out, sells 5 copies, then, you know, or whatever. Like, you want to say it sells 5,000 copies, whatever the number is. You can't be happy with that number.
I wanted to sell 5 million.
Dude, trust me. If it sells 5 million, I will – you listen to me. I don't even want to discuss what I'll do here because I'm pretty sure we would have to edit it because just so many different people would be after us for cursing, horrendous words that I would say, and just excitement.
Yeah.
But
– we wouldn't want to fucking curse.
No, because you know what? There are cunnies out there that just don't like the words.
Well, you know, if he's going to get the 5 million copies and then, like he planned all along, because he turns that into a movie deal. And we never see any more issues.
No, then I'm gone. Then I'm taking sauna soaks with Robert Kirkman, and I don't know anymore. But generally, you have to hustle every single issue. You know what I mean? Like, you don't – like, I equate it to any other, you know, medium. When an artist – and I'm going to put it out in music, and I know people roast me for saying it's not the same, but I'm going to try to connect it somehow. When you drop an album, you promote the album, you go out, you're on shows, you're talking in papers and in magazines and on radio, and anyone that'll listen to you, you're out there promoting and hustling for the album. Then you have the single, so now you're going on all these shows in the beginning and you're playing that first single that's coming off. Then you're going to play the second single on Saturday Night Live, on The View, on whatever fucking show you go on. I don't know why The View just popped up. That probably knocked my manliness down a bit. But you always see a hustle from other people in entertainment. Thank you. It's very nice.
Hey, you said you were going to have sauna soaks with Robert Kirkman. I stopped listening to you after that. I can't get that image out of my mind, and I want the story.
Oh, I thought you were just back to scratching. Sorry, I thought the image was too powerful for you. But, yeah, and I really think, like, you know, with comic guys, you got to pound the pavement constantly because it's so hard to get anyone to listen to you in comics as it is. So if you notice that you move, you know, if you move the barometer for your book a little bit with that first issue, then why not try to get more people and not, like, kind of take it easy? I don't know. That's just my take.
Now, I got to have a question for you with Comics Tribe. Are they going to be trying to put out their books in trade paperback form afterwards? Has there been any talk of that? Or?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we have a whole business plan like any other publisher has where, you know, you have the months that the books are coming out, then you have the, you know, maybe a month's downtime, and then, boom, release the trade at the next show or the next, you know, whatever. So, yeah, that's – I mean, the books that we have out now are all going to be in trades. And I think the Red 10, and I could be – we should have Tyler on the show to
next month.
The business plan. That's it. We will have Tyler James on this show to rock the Casbah like only that Bostonian man can. But I think the Red 10 is going to be broken up because it's the 12-issue miniseries, maxi-series, excuse me. So I think it's going to be, you know, the first five or six issues and then the second five or six issues and then a big trade of the complete thing at the end.
Cool. All right, we talked a lot of comic books. You got anything else you want to talk about comic books, or we want to move on to a couple other subjects?
You know what? Just move it around, though. I don't care.
I think we got the elephant in the room for creator-owned work right now, creator rights. And I know Movi and I have talked about this a bit on Twitter, but before Watchmen.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
Are we going for my official review of it so far? I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm not really finding the books all that interesting. But, you know, this is from someone who read Watchmen like maybe twice and wasn't blown away by it like a lot of other people were. And I don't mean to knock it. It's a seminal piece of work for comics. But to me, the comics I like, it doesn't really, you know, it doesn't really it's not something that I constantly go back to and even look forward to reading. So I've been going on reading these books now just for the creative teams and so far, that Amanda Connor book was stellar. Like, you might not have liked the story, but oh my God, did she draw the shit out of that book. Hello?
Oh, we're here.
I was waiting to see if Mo was chiming in there.
No, yeah, I wasn't because, I mean, all I read was The Comedian and I didn't.
Oh, that's right. You didn't read the Silk Spectre.
I didn't read the Silk Spectre. All I read was The
Comedian. Oh, that's it, the Silk Spectre.
Yeah. But I know I was waiting for Keith because he was saying something about creator-owned rights, and I thought Joe went maybe not quite in the direction that he was intending the question, so I thought he would kind of – I thought you kind of fill that in there, Keith.
I don't know. I kind of liked where he peddled to.
Well, he peddled to a review, but you were talking about the white elephant in the room and creator owned. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Get to it, buddy.
Well, are you still talking about the whole they shouldn't have done it because Alan Moore didn't want it done? Is that what you meant? And I'm not.
Yeah, it's a dicey one. I mean, it certainly I got slapped around a bit on Twitter, and you stepped in front of me a bit, which was nice for making the bold statement that not buying before Watchmen isn't really a statement on creator rights, but walking into your store and saying, I'm going to buy, show me a creator owned book. I want to buy that. That's a statement. But just ignoring it isn't a statement.
Yeah, no, and the people who are stepping forward, the retailers saying, well, I'm not going to stock it. I think that's a disservice to your readership, to your fan base, because what about that kid who would pick up, you know, and I'm just gonna say because it's the book that I like the most, picks up the Silk Spectre and just sees the beautiful artwork in it, and is blown away, and that does something to them. Like, you know, this, everyone has a different connection personally with anything, and comics are no different. And, you know, to all of a sudden get on a high horse and say, well, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to stock this because Alan Moore doesn't want that. Well, you know what? Alan Moore doesn't write all of your books, and he doesn't put, you know, every dollar in your pocket. And I bet you DC in the entire time of its run has put way more money in a retailer's pocket than Alan Moore has. And it's not to knock the guy's credit, but unfortunately he made a deal that, you know, through whatever circumstances, they would or would not get back the rights to Watchmen. But it wasn't, you know, he was hired to do it. So you signed a contract, and that's what it is. And I, you know, I can understand the guy has a personal connection to it. He helped make the book what it was. But, you know, I don't hear as much about Dave Gibbons being okay with it as I do hear, you know, Alan Moore not. Well, and I think that comics just like to be divisive. Comics are like the, you know, sometimes people who take comics a bit too seriously as a medium or as an entertainment source tend to like really like to puff up their chests and get crazy when it comes to these type of arguments. But the truth is, a good comic's a good comic. And you could read one of these books and maybe have never read Watchmen.
Sure. Okay.
So why deny that?
You have good points. I'll admit you have good points. And I really didn't want to get into this, but as you kept talking, I kept on going, well, got an issue with that point and an issue with that point. The thing is, I read Comedian. That's the one I read. I thought, okay, here's a character. I'm kind of interested in what they'll do with him. And after I read it, I thought, this is exactly what I expected, in that this is a story that just didn't need to be told. There's no reason for this to be told. It just didn't need it. Nothing special.
No, I don't disagree.
Okay, so now I'm sitting there going, this is kind of, as you're talking about it, this, what's wrong with simply respecting the creator, saying he did something that was brilliant, this book has brought in a lot of money to our company, this book continues in annual sales to bring in a lot of money to our company, he doesn't want it done, yes, we could make more money on it, but, hello? We lose him?
Yeah. No, I'm still listening.
You're listening, but I think we lost Mulvey.
I think we lost Joe. Ah, I wish you just kept going. You were on it.
What's that?
Although you wouldn't know your point.
Well, yeah, exactly. There we go. But I was just saying, yeah, what's wrong with simply saying he doesn't want it done, and we're going to respect what he did and what he's accomplished, and we can will instead of take these creators and put them on something else that we think they can do very, very well, and create a buzz for that. Like, what? I just don't understand what's wrong with that.
I think if you're talking morally and stuff like that, okay. But there's no morality. This is business, and they know Watchmen is marketable for them. They know there's a movie. They know it's the biggest selling trade of all time. They know that if they put these comics out there, people will go and at least try it. And I think they kind of knew that the characters themselves were going to be a tough sell to the general public. You know, people who were maybe not that interested in the whole Watchmen phenomena. And that's why they upped the creative talent on them. Because there's no doubt about the creative quality that's going on.
Well, there's no question that they wanted to make good books. They did their best. They brought in some very talented people.
Absolutely. But I agree with you. Like, I read that Comedian book and I said, I really don't have any interest in this character, you know, and I understand the whole, you know, I don't want to ruin it for anybody, but it's heavily tied in with the Kennedys.
Which I have no emotional connection to personally, because it happened so far before I was born.
Yeah, no, and I can get the historical element, and it could be a very good story, but that first issue did nothing to hook me. The Silk Spectre series, I really, you know what, I'll be honest with you, I still have yet to read it. I've just looked at it over and over and over again because it was so well done. And I can't bring myself to read more than 2 or 3 pages because I have zero connection or care for that character. You know, I guess Rorschach is the one that everyone's like really waiting for. And I'll try all of them. But Minutemen, Darwin Cook, you don't get much better as a storyteller. And I just have no interest in the story.
And the Comedian was the only one I had interest in. I have no interest in Rorschach, so personally.
No, but I mean, like, when you say the thing about Alan Moore, I don't think you can really say from a big conglomerate company, well, these guys want to do this, Why can't you just respect it? Because the bottom line is respecting those creators doesn't put a dollar in their pocket.
Okay, well, okay, wait one second here. There was an issue a while back. Elektra was killed. Frank yes. Miller kills her. And then Marvel brings her back, and unanimously, everybody thought that was wrong. It seemed almost unanimously. Okay. And yet, what is the difference here? Why is nobody? What is the difference between why that was wrong and why this is wrong?
I'm not gonna lie. I don't. Again, I wasn't really reading that run. I was a little young when it happened. I had read it afterwards, so I don't remember the big fallout of it. But to me, and it might just be the age I was raised in comics with, the death means nothing. Like, you know, when I was a kid growing up, it was the death of Superman.
But I'm talking not about the death. I'm talking about respecting the wishes of the creator. Because Miller said they shouldn't have brought her back. And everybody went, they shouldn't have brought her back. That was Miller's character. That was the argument.
No, and I understand the argument, but I'm saying I don't think the companies take the creator into account at all. I think they just understand turnover of issues, and if that character was popular enough to now go off and do other stuff with them.
Well, then,
so to them, but then
it's easy for you to say this, isn't it, until it happens to you. Do you know what I
absolutely.
Mean?
Absolutely, but do you really think any creator is going in now, after all these people have taken these hits already? And do you think that someone's coming in now going like, I can't believe I've done so much with Iron Fist, and they, you know, and he died in that story, and now I'm bringing him back. You know, the publisher's bringing him back. Do you really think anyone's shocked by it anymore? Like now, like you said, there were these seminal acts in the medium that people did stuff. They told this great Daredevil story, and Elektra had her endpoint, and they brought her back. Do you think there's anything that these companies wouldn't do? That's why creator-owned is continuing to grow, because they know that these bigger companies care about the characters, how they can market them, and how they can sell them.
The issue for me, is, like I say, isn't whether or not they will do it. The issue is, should they do it? And I can go to bed sleeping well tonight, knowing that they will do it. They did it, and they will do it again in the future. But that doesn't mean I think they should.
Well, but here's the thing: you're thinking, do they want to service story or do they want to service merchandise? That's honestly what I think the difference is. You're thinking of it as that story was amazing, and no one should ever fuck with it, and that's valid as a reader. But to the company, they say, well, we can do so much more if we put this character who was popular in this story, this Frank Miller story, if we can take her and put her in some other stuff, maybe we can garner more sales. And, you know, maybe we can cause a hubbub. I agree with you that the story should be the story and leave it. So morally, yes, I am with you. But I am not shocked when these companies do this, because they don't care. You know what I'm saying? Jesus Christ, they wiped out, what, Spider-Man's last 20 years or some shit like that with that One More Day thing?
Yeah, I hated that too.
Yeah, so I mean, but that's my point. Like, they said to you, look, we know you bought comics for the last 20 years, but we've kind of gotten stale on stories, so we're just going to reboot the Spider-Man thing by him, you know, making a deal with Mephisto, and then boom. Like, to me, you know, as a guy who read Spider-Man, I'm pissed off by that. It's like, so in one story, you've told me the cliffhangers of everything I read for the last 20 years mean dick.
Look, they did a sequel to Gone with the Wind. Nobody thinks they should have. Like, this isn't just a comic book thing. It really isn't.
Not at all.
You know, it really isn't. But,
I just had a great conversation with, my mother-in-law, and we can get into mother-in-law jokes too if you want. And her thing was, why is it that
your mother-in-law? You're welcome.
that's it. That explains her exhaustion at dinner tonight. But, when you
37 seconds of pure passion and excitement, of course she was wiped right out.
37 seconds. Someone's exaggerating a little bit.
Yeah, it's true. I was on Viagra.
I know. Well, you can't brush a knee without popping. But the point is, like, she was talking about the Harry Potter series, and she goes, I think it's so weird that Harry Potter goes 7 movies and gains popularity, and those other movies like, you know, The Hangover, or I think she was talking about, like, old horrors, like, you know, Freddy Krueger's or Jason's or whatever, even the aliens. They kind of died off and didn't get, you know, the popularity or whatever that the Harry Potter thing did. And I said, Harry Potter is a story that has basis to keep going. It's a book series. So they weren't just doing it like with a Friday the 13th where they made it got popular And then they were like, oh, shit, we got to turn more of this out.
Well, truthfully, you know, quality trumps everything. I mean, Terminator was a great movie. Terminator 2 comes out. If it had blown, people would have said, what a horrible move. Because it blows people away and they think it's excellent. It's okay to do. You know what I mean? And it helped that it was right. The same creator. But it wouldn't matter if it was or wasn't the same creator. The point is, quality trumps everything.
No, I agree. I agree. But just like everything in life, you got to go in with a plan.
DC doesn't.
Well, I think they do have a plan because I'll tell you right now, man, I am a little afraid that they're going to try to bring these guys into the main DC.
Now, then I would actually be angry. See, this is something that I'm not angry about. This is just something I wish they hadn't done. I think I'd actually be angry about that.
Well, I'll tell you right now, I don't know what the sales are. I haven't seen the sales numbers or looked. But if these sales numbers do very well for them, I'm pretty sure you'll see some sort of overlap into the new line.
What do you think, Keith?
I honestly can't see it happen, but I can see them going back to this well. I mean, the reality is we're only seeing about 35 issues, like single issues when you add all the miniseries together. So it's going to be 7 trades probably. I mean, that's really the long-term goal of this, is to have 7 more trade paperbacks that sit in a bookstore next to Watchmen on the shelf. That's what you want long-term. But if those 35 issues are the top 35 issues of the next 8 months, yeah, they're going to look at, you know, Seymour, the guy at the newspaper, at the magazine who picks up Rorschach's journal, is going to get his own book. The Squid's going to get his own book. The big cat that follows around Ozymandias is going to get his own book. They'll go back to this as long as it keeps selling. I can't see them switching it in, though, because you've still got the Charlton characters who, in a strange twist, have actually become analogs of the Watchmen characters who were analogs of the Charlton characters over the years.
Well, don't you just think that Dr. Manhattan fits in?
Well, like, I think the Captain Atom that Krull came out with, came out with New 52 was basically Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah, I felt the same.
To me, when they introduced that character in the DC universe in 86, they were intentionally trying to make him different than Dr. Manhattan, and now they've reintroduced him as Dr. Manhattan. I was kind of surprised not to see that from more characters, actually. Particularly Blue Beetle. Because I mean, that's really what the Captain Atom relaunch felt like to me. And I don't know, of course it could happen. I mean, the same way that I probably wouldn't have predicted that the Wildstorm characters would get rolled into the DCU, and they have.
I gotta think that's Jim Lee. I gotta think that's Jim Lee trying to, I mean, even though he doesn't own them anymore, I mean, he's gotta want to see, you know, I mean, he's got to want to see Grifter play with the Justice League, something, like, you know?
I think you're probably right. Then again, he's also the guy who thinks that it's a good idea to put Rob Liefeld on a bunch of books. Hey, I know he's been nice to you, but come on, his work sucks.
Hey, you know what? The guy's a divisive comic creator. And love him or hate him, the guy gets reaction. And supposedly, I mean, I haven't, again, seen the numbers, but the books he got put on, the sales numbers went up. So... you know,
very politically correct statement for once by Joe Mulvey.
No, not at all. It's just that at the end of the day, the money shows, you know, like, you got to be able to move books. And that's the point. Yeah. You know, if we had naked pictures of your mom in every DC book, they'd plummet. People would be stabbing their eyes out. Oh. People wouldn't want to be reading books anymore.
No, but instead, that's not true. Now, if they had naked pictures of my mom, the sales would go up. If they had naked pictures of me, they would plummet.
Yeah, well, you already came in at the end of Watchmen as the giant squid. We all know that was you.
Ah, there you go. There
you go. Clearly see it. But you know what? I don't want to go longer than we are. Yes, you do. Yes, you do, but it's white, and it smells like bleach. But it's all that Canadian brie. But... What drives me nuts about these new books is that they haven't really tried to break away from what Watchmen was. Like, they all seem to be sticking to the storytelling devices of Alan Moore and Gibbons. where it's like if you're doing something new with it.
If they didn't, I don't know if people would accept that either. I mean, that's a tough balance. It's like when somebody does a cover song. Are they better off doing a great doing the great song as best they can, or are they better off doing their own version, but it's not as good, you know?
Yeah, well, this is like – but comparing this to a cover song, then you got to change the whole lyrics because you're coming up with a whole different story. Right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, I'm not a Watchmen historian. Whatever's going on in these books, is it something that's alluded to in Watchmen, or this is completely original?
See, it's a mix. It's a mix right now for sure. Like, Minutemen is very, very close to the text pieces in Watchmen. But the other two books are completely new stories. They don't really tie into anything other than, you know, you knew Comedian was a government agent. And, you know, he kicked around. He was in Vietnam for a short time and a few details like that. I mean, Silk Spectre, there's nothing to Silk Spectre's character in the Watchmen original. Like, she's really not developed that much other than her relationship with her mother. And that she
see, and I disagree with that. You said that on the podcast, too, and I totally disagree with that. I always thought she was fully developed and fully – and not just in that way. But – but no, I always thought she was a completely rounded character, and I always understood her, and I thought she had equal time to everybody else, and her story was interesting. So, I mean, that's your take, but I don't know that I necessarily agree with that.
I don't really remember, and I haven't read Watchmen in some time now. I don't remember anyone standing out to me more than, honestly, Rorschach from the visuals. And then I think the only thing that really impacted me, like, in a big way besides the ending was – doesn't, like, Comedian, like, kill a chick or kill a bunch of chicks in Vietnam or something? And or is that just
– kills one in Vietnam, yeah. It's there's a scene – I think it's in the third issue. It's a flashback where Manhattan's remembering back to when he won the Vietnam War, basically. He
right.
came in and finished Vietnam in a couple of days. And he and the Comedian are in a bar. This girl comes in and says she's carrying the Comedian's – unborn child, and he shoots it.
Right.
And
all right.
Manhattan says, you know, what are you doing? And Comedian says, well, you know, you could have stopped me and you didn't. So what are you? So
right.
That's, yeah, that's that note. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was, but beyond that, like, I don't really remember anyone having a really developed backstory.
You know,
pretty
what? Did you read just the main story and not read the text and not read the pirate story? And like, what, you know, when you read it?
No,
some people have done that. But I mean,
I will say this. I read the first time I read it all, the second time I did not read the pirate story, probably.
David Lloyd
like...
did that, actually.
Pardon me?
David Lloyd, who did V for Vendetta. I met him at a signing last year. And we were just talking about how V for Vendetta turned out as a film. And I asked him what he thought of the way The Watchmen turned out as a film. And he said, well, I really don't know. I saw The Watchmen movie. But I read only the first issue of Watchmen, and then it hit that big chunk of text. I'm like, Alan, what are you doing? And he stopped reading. And 25 years later, he's never read Watchmen.
There you go. That's amazing, actually.
Hey, different strokes for different folks.
Yeah. All right. Well, all right. I think we got to save some comic talk for the next episode. Anything else you want to hit? I have a couple other things I wouldn't mind getting your opinion on, Mulvey, if you don't mind.
Go right ahead. I think we should snippet this and make that our you know, before Watchmen special right there.
Well, no. We'll just throw it up in this episode. And come on, you're going to be back next month. We're going to talk some more before Watchmen then, because we'll have another month worth of this shit to talk about.
That is true.
But it'll be part of it. It'll be an ongoing thing here. But any movies you've seen that lately besides Avengers now that you thought, hell, that was a hell of a movie?
You know what? Unfortunately, because of working on Scam and having a new baby and liking to hang out with my wife, I haven't seen that many movies. Honestly, like, the last thing I saw was Avengers. Really enjoyed it. Had a fun time with it. And I also saw Prometheus.
What do you think?
Which how can I say this? I've only seen the first Aliens, and I never saw the other sequels. And I recently saw the first Aliens, like maybe about 2-3 months ago, maybe
okay.
A little longer. I liked it, but I had a few plot problems with it. afterwards. But beyond that, I thought visually it was awesome. I will say that, like, cinematography and all that stuff. Visually, it gave me a lot of things to sit around and try to sketch on and some kind of, you know, visuals and ideas. But, I mean, overall, it was a good movie. I wouldn't say I was blown away, but, you know, I've heard a lot of people who are huge fans of the Alien franchise that were very unhappy.
That movie, Blown Away, is pretty good. Ever see that? No?
Blown Away?
Is that Jeff Bridges? What? Keith? Help me out here.
I have the foggiest idea what you're
I'm
talking.
Not going to lie. Yeah, I've never
Tommy
seen
Tommy Lee one. Jones? Isn't it?
I think. It sounds like a porno, but yeah, I've never.
Blown Away?
I've never seen.
Blowing Away. That's the porno. That's. All right.
Is it still with Tommy Lee Jones? I mean, you know, the man needs a paycheck.
That's true. That's true. Anyways, okay, what about sports? Got some things that wrapped up. I know you said you're a hockey fan. Kings won the cup. Any thoughts? Beat the Jersey Devils?
I couldn't have been happier to watch the Jersey Devils lose in the fashion they did. No franchise next to the Pittsburgh Penguins deserved to be kicked in the dick on such a loss on their way out of the NHL playoffs like the Devils. And just to spew my hatred of the Devils, to watch them come back and make it a 3-2 series and go into that game where they could have made it 3-3, and for them to lay such a fucking goose egg and get their dicks kicked in was an amazing, amazing thing as a Devils hater to watch.
You liked you know? It, did you? Cheers.
I just went to the river and listened across to Jersey to hear all the shotguns going in Guido's mouths across the entire world for them taking themselves out. Could not have been happier for the way that ended.
Brilliant. The Heat won the NBA championship. Do you have any thought on that?
Could not give a shit about basketball. As a guy who likes hockey as his favorite sport, then going over to a sport where guys wear tank tops and shorts and they get penalties for traveling, which is running just too many times without bouncing, is just not my kind of sport. Even though I don't like LeBron James just for what he did years ago, I could really give a crap about hating a guy who plays sports, you know, outside of I see so many people jumping on a bandwagon of hating this guy, and I really, you know, I don't like the guy, but I don't really hate the guy either. So he didn't kill anybody. He just, you know, left his team.
He left Cleveland. Really? Who can blame him for that? I mean, think about
seriously.
It.
Seriously.
Yeah, I mean, honestly.
But except for those
Cleveland. You wanted to leave, didn't you?
I'm bad.
I thought Cleveland was lovely. I thought Cleveland was lovely. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. There's a NASA museum. I wouldn't want to spend more than a couple of days. So, yeah, fair. I think it's like 3 days.
You know.
I think in 3 days I saw what I needed. I wouldn't want to, you know, wouldn't want to be there anymore.
All right.
But yeah, sadly, I cannot say enough about how I just do not like basketball.
All right. Well, let's get you to say enough about something else. A big thing that happened in New York is you're a Jets fan in the NFL. Tim Tebow's there. Any thoughts?
Oh, I've just been looking at the Jets schedule. He's going to be starting by week 8, which is the sad thing. He really is, because I think we have a pretty tough schedule. And you know what? I'm glad he didn't go to the Patriots and Bill Belichick, that devil nipple sucking fuck that he is. he just would have turned him into pretty much a throwing Wes Welker. I mean, I have hope that Rex Ryan's bluster is got some sort of genius behind it, but I mean, you know, I'm going to say this. I have hopes, but as a I equate being a Jets fan to domestic abuse. Every single time they kick you, they punch you, they smack you, and then at the start of a new season, they bring you flowers and they say they're sorry, and that's exactly what the Jets do to fans. And I'm praying, not Tebow praying, but legitimately praying that something good happens.
Oh, that guy pisses me off. I got to be honest with you. That oh, you know.
Really? What is it that he does?
Well, there was that commercial he did for Planned Parenthood that really got to me. I have to admit.
Let me ask you a question. Let's go a little bit to the R rating. Yep. I'm thinking he's a virgin. What do you say, virgin?
He is. He said it himself. He's a
virgin. Yeah, but okay, he said it himself because all athletes.
Good point. Britney Spears said it for a long time too, and you know yeah. she's had more shaft than an elevator. So
wow, but more than Samuel L. Jackson or any of the black.
Well, wait a second. Mo, an elevator only has one shaft. What are you talking about?
That is true. And that's why Keith's on the show.
Fireman? I don't know what to say here.
There's only one pole. They slide down it.
That's what your mom said. But anyways, what the hell were we saying? No, yeah, I think he's a virgin. Yeah, yeah, he kind of – the praying thing and everything like that. Like, I have your faith, but just – it's. I think he's a little too – I don't know. It's – I don't know.
You know what? All these athletes come out and fucking, you know, and I'm just going New York sports here to be biased to where I'm from. Daryl Strawberry was out at night with hookers, beating his wife up, doing cocaine, drunk driving, all this shit or whatever he was doing. And every single time it was the story of, oh, here's the guy down on his luck, this poor sports star. People love to watch a guy, you know, go down for all the wrong reasons. If the worst thing this guy does is pray and try to be a good role model, and maybe he's a little too self-righteous, which I still don't even see it in him, you know, who cares? As long as the guy plays football, I mean, I have no problem with him being, you know, some sort of, you know, Jesus nut, if that's his thing.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. That's a good point. And we'll see if he can play football this year, because that's still up in the air. He wins, but I don't know if he plays football. Let's go on.
Jets got rid of Sean Green.
Yeah, yeah.
That's got to say something.
That's true. All right, let's move on to something else here. We need a stripper story from you, because you have a whole bunch, apparently. Why don't you give us one of those?
Well, I was at a strip club a few weeks ago for a bachelor party, to which at – I'm sorry, did you want any more specifics? Or?
Oh, yeah. You tell the story how you feel it should be told, whatever you want to say.
Well, that's fine. So at the strip club, and this is one of the better parts – I have recently found out that the best thing you can do when you go to a strip club, and all guys that go to strip clubs, listen to this. And if you're a guy that hasn't gone to a strip club, or a lady that would like to go with their guy or for yourselves, I would suggest this. For a guy, say you're gay. Because here's what happens. When you say you're gay, all of a sudden, and you really got to say it. You can't just like hush it. You got to be proud about it. You got to be like, no, thanks, I'm gay. I don't want a lap dance. I don't want anything. I have started this thing where women will come over and offer me free lap dances for a challenge to see if they can make it move. And I think this is something that everyone should try to do. I don't know if everyone can pull it off, but
that's
awesome. Realized at the end of my last bachelor party, I was doing it because I really just didn't want people to keep coming up and asking me if I wanted a lap dance, because I kept having to say no. And I kept saying, I was like, no, I'm gay. Thanks. No, I'm gay. Appreciate it. Trust me, unless you got some balls underneath that thong, I don't want anything to do with you. And I was really going out about it. And all of a sudden, this one woman's like, you come in the back. I guarantee I make it move. I make it move. I'm like, no, Broomhilda, I don't need you to try to make it move. And all my other buddies that I'm with are like, that's fucking genius. Why didn't you think of this before? And I'm like, I don't know. I just wanted them to leave me alone. But
so it also means that you're not gay, which I didn't know.
Well, no, I thought the kid would prove that. I thought, you know, I thought I'd finally have put these rumors to rest once I had my first kid. But unfortunately, you just keep running that fucking rumor mill up in Canada, trying to fucking – everyone wants to go against gay Mulvey. It's wrong.
All right, let's go let's go with another thing here. You said last time we talked to you that you used to do some stand-up. So what kind of stand-up were you? What kind of material did you use?
Oh, it's horrible. There's no – you don't have to – this is like – come on. This is the slur part of the interview. I used to do stand-up in high school and college because I used to be, you know, a class comedian or clown or whatever. And I thought, you know, one of my teachers had said, well, why don't you try doing it in front of a crowd? So I had gone to an open mic and I did pretty well. But then after that, there's stuff I can't even say really on here. But I was booked at a lot of nights that I shouldn't have been booked. Gay comedy night, black and Hispanic night. And I'm a little Irish white guy from Queens. And I got destroyed by a lot of hecklers. And beyond that, I just didn't like doing it anymore because a lot of the people I've met and, you know, again, in New York, so it's a pretty big hub for comedy, were so insecure. Like, no one wanted to just have fun and talk. Like, everything you said, people were like, are you going to use that? Oh, are you going to use that? Oh, shit, are you going to use that? And I'm like, no, I'm just fucking getting a drink. Why can't we just talk to each other? And everyone's like, oh, no, that was funny. You know, do you use that? Is that a bit you work on? I'm like, no. I just go up on stage and I talk about how my grandmother used to wrap my gifts for Christmas in Saran wrap, and then she was disappointed when I wasn't, you know, when I wasn't surprised when I opened them because she was insane and she had cataracts. So these are just – I used to just go up there and tell life stories of stuff that happened to me. When I was 7, I shit my pants in the White House. These are things you talk about because it's what I knew.
All right. We need to hear that story then.
Oh, that's for another time. We got to tease the
tease. It's a tease. You know what? You're probably right. We're going to be doing this once a month. It probably is time to wrap this sucker up here. Any last plugs you want to give out for yourself there, Joe?
Just go into your stores. Tell them to turn to previews at the end of June's issue, page 275, and pick up Scam number 1. Pre-order it now. Help out a new company launch, and you will enjoy every ounce and page of the book, and it's about superpowered con men on the heist of their lives in Las Vegas.
Anything you want to add there, Keith?
Well, you can follow me on Twitter, CubReporterK, and we'll see about if I'm back for the next episode of Mojo. I'm not sure. It may conflict with San Diego Comic-Con, which I'm sort of going to. We'll see.
You backed out on New York, you son of a bitch.
I was going to do you. If I couldn't get tickets to San Diego, I would have done New York this year. But I may do New York next year, which should time out right about when the trade paperbacks of Comics Tribe stuff is scheduled. So,
look at you planning it all for Comics Tribe. You beautiful son of a bitch. I take it all back. Everything I'm just tweeting to Mo right now, I take it all back.
And tweeting me at Mo_WeTalk. That said, I think that's the end of the show. We're OUT.
Adios, guys. Good?
Good stuff, yeah.